Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, once again for this great privilege to stand in your presence, knowing, O God, that you have come down in this hour with a great shout. It's getting us ready for the voice of the resurrection and the going home. Father, be with us, Lord, this morning as we continue to study the words that you came down, the shout that you gave, the rising of the sun. And Father, may it help us, O God, to turn that corner in our own lives, to come to the place, Lord, where we understand the process of the resurrection that has taken place within us already. We come to Thee and we ask You, Lord, to help us, guide us, and just fill us with the love that You had for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May God be with you. Last night we ended our study at paragraph 74 of Brother Ram's sermon, The Rising of the Sun. And we really did not have time to get into paragraph 74, so therefore this morning I would like to take a short message concerning what Brother Branham said in his first part of his paragraph. And so we're just going to read the first part of the paragraph from The Rising of the Sun. He said, "That's what's the matter today. They try to give them waters from the denominational fountain, and it stunts the growth, you see." And I was thinking, you know, we have today in the natural, we have, you know, they're putting up in the air and they're polluting the water with fluoride, and you know, when you go to drink it, you've got not only fluoride, but you've got all these chemicals that they add to it to keep the parasites out and everything else. And, you know, it actually, I don't know about stunting your growth in the natural, but it sure stunts your healing or your health. It just really affects your health. But this morning I'd like to look at this thought and how the nature of denominationalism and organization not only stunts the growth of the Christian, but it brings about ultimately spiritual death as well. From his book, The Seven Church Ages, Brother Branham said in chapter in this chapter that deals with the Ephesian church age, he said that cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall the last move of God in the Spirit when men and women dressed like Christians went to church, prayed all night, took to street corners, and weren't ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches and worshipped in homes or old store buildings. They had a reality, but it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches. They put in a choir instead of singing unto God for themselves. They put gowns on the choir. They organized a movement and ran it by man. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. They let down the bars and the goats came in and took over. The cry of joy was gone. The freedom of the Spirit was gone. Oh, they kept on with form, but the fire had died down and the blackness of ashes is about all that is left." That's basically Christianity America. And let's face it, Christianity Europe doesn't even exist. I mean, you go over to Norway and you can't find, but I think there's something like 4,000 people in the whole country of 4 million that actually go to church. I mean, it's just, it's crazy the death of the church. In fact, they're all the churches in Europe are being taken over and they're becoming mosques, because at least the Muslims have a fervor, they have a fire. Although it's, you know, Brother Brown said you are a reflection where you're going, so I think that maybe their fire is a reflection of where they're going. But anyway, I don't mean to be funny, but that is the truth. Now, he says, "A few moments ago, I mentioned that John understood what it was to love God. That great apostle of love would certainly see it when the church began to lose that first love of God. In 1 John 5:3, he says, 'For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, his word.' One little deviation from that word was a step away from Christ." Now, listen to his words here. He's talking about the love of God, and he said, "Now, if you really love God, you're going to keep his word." That's what Martin Luther said last night. You don't keep it out of fear. You don't keep it out of hoping for a reward. You keep it because you love him and you love his word. People say that they love God. They go to church. They even shout and rejoice and sing and have a great emotional time. But when it's all over, watch and see if they are in that word. Now, how does he describe being in that word? He says, walking in it and living in it. If they go through all the other and then don't walk in the Word, they can say that they love God, but their lives tell another story. I wonder if John, didn't see a lot of that before he died. People saying they love God, but not obeying his word. Oh, Ephesian church, something is happening to you. Someone is trying to either add to that word or take from it. But they are doing it so subtly that you can't see it. They haven't made a move so big that you can see it out there in the open. It is undercover, and they are bringing it by way of reason and human understanding, and it will take over unless you refuse it. Go back to Pentecost before it's too late. But as usual, people don't heed God's warning. That revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful, and the manifestation of the Spirit is so blessed, that a little fear creeps in and whispers in the hearts and says, how can we protect this truth that we have? What can we do to see this revival goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit comes in and whispers, look, you have the truth now. See that it doesn't get lost. Organize and set up your creeds of what you believe. Put it all in a church manual, and they do it. They organize, they add to the word, and they die just like Eve did, for taking one word, one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life, and it's not what we say about that word that counts, but it's what God said. Now, I'd like to just comment a little bit on this as well. Because what has happened in this message is that God sent a great revival, and he sent a prophet, William Branham. You had the word, and you had the manifestation of the Spirit. The prophet went off the scene, and with him, the manifestation of the Spirit. That's not the way God operates. His presence is still here. There should be manifestation of the Spirit of God in every one of your lives. Amen. You see? But the problem is that because they don't see it in their church, they make a creed that says only he had it. And so we will make a dogma, we will make a creed around that and say only one guy had it. Ah, relief. Now we're back in the Spirit. And you're not. You died. Think about it. It's written all over it. Notice he told us it is fear that motivates people to organize what they know as truth. And when they do that, they die spiritually right there. And notice further that the revival brought not only the word, but was so heavenly, filled with manifestation of the Spirit as well. And then when the ministry goes off the scene, fear sets in, and they organize what was a God move. And once they organize what was a God move, God leads. And with it, the manifestation of the Spirit and the fresh word is lost. And now they have a man move. We as individuals must be very careful we never allow that to happen in our own life. I won't say in the church life, because let me tell you this. This is not a church that everybody does, you know, if the pastor puts his hand up, everyone puts their hand. This is a bunch of individuals have come together today. So it's not up to me, it's up to you. Because if I go off this word, I expect you to leave me. You understand? And by the grace of God, I don't believe I will. But Paul said, it's good that we've run. You know, he said, you've run a good race, but don't fail to finish that race. Now, from his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Where the carcass, where the killing is, there the eagles will be gathered. Where the fresh meat is, the word of the season, there the eagles will be gathered. But after it's rotten, then the vultures will swarm to it. See what I mean? When a kill is made, here comes the eagle, but after it lays there and rotten, then here comes the vultures. The eagles won't have nothing to do with it, see? Jesus said, where the carcass is, where the manna fell, the night the manna falls fresh, there the eagles will gather for it. That's the manna for the day. But notice, after it's rotten, maggots get into it, then here comes the vultures. They can't smell it until it does get rotten. No wonder Jesus said, now listen, Brother Brand is talking about the word. The word. John Wesley brought the word for the hour, and yet that carcass, that word that he brought, is rotten. It's rotten. It won't do. It won't get you into heaven. It won't get you into the resurrection. Martin Luther, if you just read his books, it just stirs your soul, because it's just so wonderful with the light of what we have today. But it's rotten man. Now, he's not saying the word itself is rotten, but that purview
of the Word, that focus on the Word, because it's gone way beyond that. Brother Branham said, this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost, and yet the Pentecostal fire should still be in your heart. The night the manna falls fresh, there the eagles will gather for it. That's the manna for the day. Notice, but after it gets rotten, maggots get into it. Then here comes the vultures. They can't smell it until it gets rotten. Let me tell you something. Malachi 4 is rotten manna.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's manna from 60 years ago.
Yep.
You ought to be far, far, far beyond just Malachi 4.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Brown didn't come to just put on a show. In fact, the angel of the Lord criticized him when he did one night. He said, you're making a show out of it. He came to bring the shout, which God came down to deliver. And he used the voice of his prophet. If people don't study what God himself has come to tell us, they don't care what God has to say. That's the manna for the day. Notice, but after it gets rotten, maggots get into it, then here comes the vultures. They can't smell it till it gets rotten. Brother Branham himself said, how many people, in 65, how many people do you think are following this message? And the brother said, about 10,000. And Brother Branham said, that's too many, we've got to shake them off. So he preaches false anointing once at the end time, and sermons are just really blister your hide, like the shuck will not be air with the wheat, or the wheat will not be air with the shuck. Things like that just really blister the people. Jezebel religion, all those tremendous sermons. There's 2 million plus people following the message today. If he were here, he'd be really shaking it. So I ask the question, are you? How many of you really spend time before God on your knees? How many of you are really asking God? Like David said, Lord, if there be any wickedness in me, reveal it to me. I want to be right. I want to do right. No wonder Jesus stood up there and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you stoned every prophet. Notice that personal pronoun, see? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I, who is he? How oft would I have gathered you as a hen would her brood, you that stoned every prophet that I ever sent to you. Can you imagine a people? God sends them a messenger. What do? Stone him. He doesn't fit with our organized thinking. God sent William Branham to America. They stone him. What do? With words. Ah, you don't even have an education. Blah, blah, blah. They want men like Oral Roberts. You know, college degree or whatever. I mean, just... When God sends any ministry, whether it's a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, apostle, the majority of the people don't want it. But it's not for the majority. It's only for those that are elected to hear it. So we see that God sends a message to restore people, but once that messenger leaves, the people begin to fear that they will lose what they had, and so in order to keep what they had, they organize it and make systematic they systematize it, trying to create something that will keep what the messenger brought, keep it going. And when they do that, they move it from being a work of God to becoming a work of man.
Right.
In front of the sermon, church choosing law for grace, Brother Branham said, watch just a minute. They say there, they married wives, they raised children. Now listen.
I know some are going to criticize and say, oh,
he's saying we've got to go, you know, put aside Malachi 4. Listen, Paul said, laying aside the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection.
Amen.
Not laying aside the principles. We're not laying aside Malachi 4, but we're saying we've got to go on. We've got to go into Malachi 4.
Right.
We've got to go into what he said. Not just God sent the prophet, hallelujah. 2 million people said hallelujah when Moses walked them across the Red Sea. And then as soon as they got over, they complained again because they didn't have manna. They didn't have water. And complained. And yet, for 40 years, the soles of their shoes never even wore out. A provision from God that was so supernatural, and they missed it. Most of them did. Are we missing the great manna that God has brought down? The shout that God has brought. His presence. Who He is. The relationship He had with His Son. He's come down to give us that same relationship. And we sit back and we say, oh, God sent a prophet. Well, I'm glad He did send a prophet. But what are you doing about it? You see? Brother Brown said, from the church choosing off of grace. Now watch this a minute. They stayed there. They married wives. They raised children. They had good crops. They were blessed, yeah. And they had a great time. And they was in there. They stayed there how long? Well, the Bible said until all the old fighters was gone. That's right. All those, glory to God, we are the assemblies. Well, glory to God, we are so-and-so. God, we are the oneness. Hallelujah. The rest of them is wrong. Bless God, we're the church of God of prophecy. Hallelujah. We're so-and-so. All right, go ahead. What did they do? They kept arguing their doctrine till they stayed there till they died. Are we going to be guilty of that in this hour? People already are. They will sit and argue when God could care less. He wants to see you live that doctrine. And that's what happened right now. They're dead. Dead with their organizations. I'll bring any theologian to call this a historian. I know of two good ones sitting here right now, as good as they are in the nation. And I ask any historian to tell me that any time that God ever moved in a revival, supernatural signs followed. And when He did ever move, that supernatural didn't follow. And when did they ever organize that to an organization, but what it died and never did raise again? What's he saying? When the supernatural is gone, God's gone. Then it's just nothing but organization. Nothing but organization. People come to church, they hear a sermon, they go home the same as they came in. And they didn't change a lick. Show me one time that organization ever raised to its beginning again. It died as soon as it organized. So did the Pentecostals. You old fighters out there that wants to say, hallelujah, we have nothing to do with that old, new issue. Well, glory to God, it's given to us by prophecy. Hallelujah. We'll have nothing to do with this assemblies or oneness, either one. Hallelujah, we're different. They're dead. That's not pulling any punch. And they're dead. Mark out an X. He stayed there and let them die until they were all the way dead. How many of you signed cry for the abominations done in the city, D.C.? Again, he said in Church Age book, the Sardisian Church Age, that's the one with Luther in it, these people organized on a doctrine and bound themselves right back as did the organization ahead of them, proving that instead of being the real seed, that they were chaff or protecting cover for the wheat seed, which should come. This chaff stage was a danger period that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:24, deceiving the very elect if it were possible. Why? Because they're in the same group. It's all organized all around us. Now tell me, we haven't had the same thing happening in the message today. We've had two souls. We've had seven thunders. We've had return ministry. We've had the bride age. We've had parousia. We've even had the Godhead, where it's either the oneness group or the two lords group or whatever. They have organized on a doctrine, and the minute that they do that, they die right there. And the Holy Spirit keeps moving on right there. Tell me that hasn't happened. When this church has been exiled from away from the two lords people. Well, I never believed two lords to begin with. It's a fallacy. Brother Vail said it's a fallacy. But when they, what would cause people to exile you? It's just like the shuck. It dries up and it spits out the seed. And the seed continues on with life.
Again, he said in the Church Age book, chapter 6, the Thyatiran Church Age, the minute the first Church of Rome organized, it died. The minute that the Lutherans organized, death came in and they died. The Pentecostals came along last and they organized. The Spirit left them, though they don't believe it, but he did. That marriage brought death. Then the light of the oneness of the Godhead came and they organized and they died too. Well, what about then came along the duality of understanding the doctrine of Christ? What are they going to do with that? They died because they made it a two lords. It's not a two lords. It's one Lord. One God. One Lord, one faith. And Brother Brown said, if you have more than one Lord, you have more than one faith. All right? If you've got more than one faith, let me just tell you something. You're a two-souled man. That's actually what the Diagogue says. You're a double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. Because you have two faiths. And again, he said in Church Age book, chapter 7, the Sardisian Church Age, not one of these messengers was organized. Either they were put out or they got out because they were convicted of the sin of organization. How can the Holy Spirit possibly be in organization when it is organization that takes the place of the Spirit and denomination take the place of the Word? Remember, organization is death. It just can't be any other way. If the world takes over, the Spirit departs. We should all be saying amen. Again, Brother Brown said in the Church Age book, the Thyatiran Church Age, he said, show me one church that ever came out of organization that didn't go right back into it. There isn't one, not one. And in another place in the Church Age book, from Resume of the Ages, he said, this is a good place to make an illuminating observation. Now look, the deeds and doctrines of the Nicolaitans, the doctrines of Balaam, the teaching of the false prophetess, Jezebel, do not constitute three spirits or make three spiritual principles. These three are but the various manifestations of the same Spirit as it goes from death to death. What it all is the Antichrist spirit of organization in its three various stages. Once the clergy separated themselves and organized themselves, they oppressed the people by leading them into and binding them to an organization also. This organization was based upon the creeds and dogmas which they taught the people instead of the pure Word of God. Ritual and ceremony was given an increasing part in worship, and soon this whole system was a militant and diabolical power that did its best to control all through the persuasion of discourse or literal force. It receives its energy from its own false prophecies and not the Word of God. It was now absolutely Antichrist, though it came in the name of Christ. Now, I know that might have gone over some of your heads, but let's just go into this a little bit deeper. In fact, I have many more quotes here from the Church Age book. But he said, from the Thyatiran Church Age, so you see, death or organization came and the church died. Or to make it plainer, death became a resident, wherein shortly before only life reigned. As the original Eve brought death to mankind, so now organization has brought death. For organization is the product of the double corruptors, Nicolaitanism and Balaamism, propagated by the prophetess Jezebel. Alright, he goes on. In the Pergamene, he says, so Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. And do you know the physical fornication is the very same spirit that lies in organized religion? I said that the spirit of fornication is the spirit of organization. And all fornication will have their place in the lake of fire. That is what God thinks of organization. Yes, sir, the whore and her harlots will be in the lake of fire. So get it out of your system that, look, oh, there's good people and oh, this and that. Listen, those systems are rotten to the core. Those people are no different. The Catholic is no different from the Muslim. They went out and they killed 68 million people. The Muslims are just doing it today. And they did it back then as well. These things that we're seeing today are not some freak of, well, this is the end time, so this has to happen. It's been happening since organization. Because the white horse rider came forward. He had a bow but no arrows. He was a bluff. He made himself look like a good Christian organization, but that's just it. He was an organization. Then the people came. And then that Nicolaitan spirit became red. Why?
because power was given into the hands of certain men, and those certain men just lopped off the heads of people they didn't like, or people that didn't go along with their power trip. Now, from the Church Age book, again, the Pergamium, so Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. He said, do you know physical fornication is the very same spirit? All right. From the resume of the Church Age, he said, for the clergy to organize themselves with one rank over another until they are finally headed up by a president is a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. Regardless of how wonderful and necessary it may be, it is nothing but human reasoning taking the place of the Word. I say, well, how does that affect us? Because when you have people who say, who rank the ministry in an order, you've got a Nicolaitan system. In one group in the message, well, we've got the apostle. So everybody has to be, you know, pay their tithes to the apostle. Everybody has to be subject to the apostle. Another group in the message, well, we've got the teacher, the teacher. Listen, the teacher is the Holy Ghost. Brother Vail was not the teacher. He was a teacher. A good teacher. But he wasn't the Holy Ghost. I remember sitting at the table one time. Two people are propagating that. Came in. I was sitting there with Brother Vail. I saw him come in. I said, Brother Vail, you're no more vindicated than I am. And he said, of course not. He said, we're all on the same level. And yet they wanted to make Brother Vail like that. They're like, you know, here's Brother Branham. Here's Brother Vail. Now you've got Nicolaitanism. When you preach that. And Brother Vail himself, 36 times, he said, if you say you've got to listen to me to make the rapture, he said, you're lost. And you're on your road to the lake of fire. It's time that we read the Church Age book again. It's time we understand that, look, I am no different from you. I'm your brother. I happen to have a different ministry than you have. A different calling than you have. It makes me no better in God's kingdom. I'm a brother. We're brothers. God doesn't look at this one and say, well, you know, he does this, this one, he does this. No, they're all his children. One is not better than the other. We're brothers and sisters. We're the same family. We have the same father. We have the same eldest brother. That just makes it brethren. And so he said, for the clergy to organize themselves with one rank over another until they finally headed up by a president is a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. So when you've got groups that say, well, we have the apostle, and everybody's got to go huddle around the apostle like a bunch of little puppets, that's Antichrist system. He just said it right there. Headed up by a president, it's the Antichrist spirit. Regardless of how wonderful and necessary it may seem, it is nothing but human reasoning taking the place of the Word. That's why they don't preach from the Word. Well, they might open up one scripture and read one scripture, and then they just talk. And any person who is in that organized denominations is right in the midst of an Antichrist system. Now, let me say this and make it very plain. I am not against the people. I am against the system. I say the same thing. I'm reading what the prophet said, and I'm repeating it because I believe it. I hope you believe it. From the Church Age book, the latest in Church Age. Listen, we need tough preaching. Because we get so, you know, we hear a few songs. Oh, those, oh, it's so nice. Yeah, that church has such nice music. You know what? So does the Catholic Church. I tell you what, you won't hear any better music than you will hear in the Mormon choir, sure, or the Catholic churches, where even some of their homilies, you know, they sing there. And of course, they built the churches to echo, and just the acoustics are just beautiful, sure, and it's all devil worship. That's where your music goes. Now, Brother Brown said, when you subscribe to a doctrine that cannot be substantiated by Scripture, like two lords, your doctrine is false. And when you organize around that doctrine, that is when death sets in. Brother Vail called it a fallacy. That means it's false. He said we shouldn't preach it, but we do because, well, they got a Scripture that says, the Lord said unto my Lord. And he said, but that's wrong. That's a wrong translation. It says, Elohim said unto Adonai. The falsity of the doctrine cannot only be
be seen by a lack of scripture to substantiate it, but those who subscribe to the doctrine immediately organize on the basis of the doctrine, proving that they were not in the truth, as they would have people to believe. Oh, it looked good. It looked like the return of Pentecost. So did seven thunders when they began preaching the virtues, you know, preaching these things. And then pretty soon they made the head guy, he became the Archangel Michael. Like Brother Valley chuckled, he said, well, that just means that he's not a son. He doesn't have eternal life, because angels don't have eternal life.
But it proved it wasn't. It could not be, for it organized. That is death, not life. It looked so close to the real that multitudes were deceived. Again, from the Sardisian Church Age, Brother Rasmussen, now I just said that this era gave tremendous growth to the denominational spirit. If the Corinthian attitude of I am of Paul or I am of Cephas was ever exhibited, it was now. There were Lutherans and Hussites and Zwingli party, etc. Such fragmentation of the body was deplorable. They were living a name but were dead. Certainly they were dead. They died the minute they organized. And if you say, well, I'm going to listen to, then I'm just going to stay home, I'm going to listen to Tate, you're dead. Because you're excluding a fivefold ministry, which is for the perfecting of the saints. They died the minute they organized. Look, there's the return ministry. That's an organized doctrine. Two souls, organized doctrine. And there's even the fivefold ministry. You know, they put the fivefold ministry up there with the prophet. That's organized doctrine.
God has an order for everything.
And you know what? If it's not coming forth from this word, then forget it. Because this is God's word. Even Brother Branham said, this is my absolute. That's why I said many times, if you can't take what Brother Branham said and bring it right back to the word, you don't understand what he said. And you can listen to what he said and run off and have tangents.
And I think it was right before his last trip that he made when he was killed.
He said there's something like 13 or 17 different versions of the message back then. How many are today? Heinz, what's the Heinz sauce? 67 or something like that, right?
57 varieties.
Yeah, okay. So like the place that sells ice cream, they had 144 different ones of it.
Again, from the side here of Church Age, can any man living tell me what church or what move of God ever had revival and came back after she went into organization and became a denomination? Read your histories. You can't find not even one. Again, from the Pergamon Church Age, denominations are not of God. They never have been and never will be. It's a wrong spirit that separates the people of God into a hierarchy and laity. And it's therefore a wrong spirit that separates the people from the people. That's what organization and denominations do. In organizing, they separate themselves from the Word of God and bring themselves into spiritual adultery.
Wow.
From the Church Age book, Pergamian Church Age, he said, that is what has happened in every age since. God delivers the people. They come out by the blood, sanctified by the Word, walk through the waters of baptism and get filled with the Spirit. But after a while, the first love cools off, and someone gets the idea that they ought to organize in order to preserve themselves and make a name for themselves, and they organize themselves right back in the second generation and sometimes even before that. In other words, if you don't follow Brother Vail, hook, line, and sinker, you're not bright. That's an organizational spirit that would say that. If you don't believe the seven thunders as Joe Coleman teaches it, you're not bright.
That's an organizational spirit and it's Antichrist spirit.
If you don't believe two souls like Paul Jones preaches it, then you're
listen, that's organizational spirit. We've got to get away from that. Get your eyes off of every vessel, every single vessel, and look what God is doing.
Amen.
If you're going to look at any vessel, look at your own. Look at your own vessel and see if the supernatural presence of God is living in you and abiding in you. If He's not, then I'd get to my knees until it did happen. Until you can see God in every breath that you take. Until you can actually, like we talked last night, very important sermon last night, the process of resurrection. Brother Branson, you are already resurrected, but your body isn't. But your body is potentially. And so you have got to understand the resurrection power of God is already in you. And somewhere when you're born again, somewhere you're a baby,
and at the adoption you're going to be fully grown, fully mature, and somewhere you are in between.
And only you can tell where you're at.
Your husband can't, your wife can't. Only you can do that.
So it says from the Pergamum Church, that is what happened in every age since. God delivers the people, they come out by the blood, sanctified by the word, walk through the waters of baptism, and get filled with the Spirit. But after a while, the first love cools off. Wasn't there too many people that were baptized under the cloud, as Paul said? And they're everyone dead? Someone gets the idea that they ought to organize in order to preserve themselves and make a name for themselves, and they organize themselves right back in the second generation, and sometimes even before then. They no longer have the Spirit of God, just a form of worship. They are dead. They have hybridized themselves with creed and form, and there is no life in them. Again, from the Smyrnian church age. The horse is a type of the true believer, and the ass, that's a donkey, is a picture of the unrighteous one. Mix them and you have a sterile, formal religion. It hasn't the seed of life. It is dead. It can talk about truth, but it can't produce it. It doesn't have God in its midst, yet it gathers together and talks about God, and all the while systematically denies the power. Look, the Jehovah Witnesses, you know how they meet? They get together and they talk the word. That's their meaning. They can talk it, but they don't have it. They will deny the word in every name, in the very name of the Lord. And there is never any hope for them. You realize that no organized religion ever had a revival? Never. Once they organized, they died. They can't ever come back. No, sir. Why? It's the law of life. The life is gone. They're hybrid. From the Church Age book, the Smyrnian Church Age again, he says, with Irenaeus, this was not so. He was militant against any form of organization. Also, his life history, wherein he served the Lord, was one of much manifestation in the Holy Spirit, and the word was taught with unusual clarity and conformity to its original precepts. His churches in France were known to have the gifts of the Spirit among them, for the saints spoke in tongues, prophesied, they raised the dead, and healed the sick by the power of prayer. He saw the danger of any kind of organized brotherhood among the elders and pastors, etc. He stood solidly for a unified, Spirit-filled, gift-manifesting local church. And God honored him for the power of God manifested among the saints. Not just him. Although there's tremendous, I don't know if you ever heard the story about when he was actually burnt at the stake. But when they tied him up and they burned him at the stake, the flames were roaring, but they were blowing away from his body. They couldn't kill him.
Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was in the fiery furnace, in the midst of the flames, and it wasn't touching his body. He wasn't getting even a suntan from it. And so they decided, well, we'll just kill him. So they stuck a spear in his side. And when they stuck a spear in his side, they said, a dove flew out from his side. And the water that came out from his body put out the flames. Now listen, I've been to Belgium, I've been to these places, and they would build a big, they put them in the middle of the, like the square, and they have a pole, you'd be tied to a pole, and they build all these stakes, you know, they put all this burning wood all around the body, so it's got to be bigger than this pulpit area. And the water in his side that came out, put out the flame. That's a lot of water. But more than that, that's a lot of Holy Ghost, because water represents the Holy Ghost. And when the dove came out of his side, the people said, okay, this was a man of God. I love it. From the Church Age book, Resume of the Ages, he said, these people, even before a second generation had appeared, organized and wrote their unscriptural doctrines and built their own fences as every other group ahead of them. And again, from Resume, he said, now, watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Notice above all that it is a deliberate maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind the people to them by leading the people deliberately into the sin of unbelief. The Nicolaitan doctrine was a corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves. And I'm going to say this. I know it's going to get me in trouble, but I don't care. When you take a certain person, like say Brother Bale, and you said, you gotta hear that man, And they say, oh, and they start, they say, well, then let me listen to his tape. No. You got to hear it through me. That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. You got to listen to Brother Branham,
but you got to hear it from me.
And it's the clergy that are binding the people to themselves when Brother Bell himself said,
you don't have to listen to me. And people that say that you have to listen to me, he said they're liars, 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 and they're on their road to the lake of fire. You people have to listen to God.
You should get your Bible out every day and say, Father, what would you have your servants to know today? You should listen to the tapes, the voice of God to this age, and say, Father, I just want to be closer to you. Help me.
And when you come to church, you should hear the same things from this pulpit as you're hearing on a daily basis. And that's just God putting the exclamation point behind His Word.
The Nicolaitan doctrine was a corruption of the clergy as they sought political power among themselves, while Balaamism is a subjection of the people to their system of creed and worship in order to hold them. Now watch this carefully. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroyed them? It was the creeds and dogmas formed into church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were not given the true food, the Word. They were given the food that came from idol worship, Babylonian paganism, wrapped up in Christian terminology. And that very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst all Protestants, and it is called denomination. Nicolaitanism is organization, humanizing the leadership of the church and thereby deposing the spirit. Balaamism is denominationalism, which takes the church manual instead of the Bible. Yeah. When people would say, well, if I had to choose between God, you know the words, and William Branham and Lee Bell, I'd take Lee Bell.
That person is lost. They don't have the Holy Ghost, and they don't understand that Brother Branham and Brother Bell subjected themselves to God. Then how can you say that one? I would choose this one over that one. I would choose a part over the whole. That's a lost individual. I pray for those people. I really do. I hate to see anybody go to hell, but people are going to hell. People are going to hell.
And right in this hour, many of God's people are caught in the snare of denominationalism, and God is crying to them, come out of her, my people, lest you be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. You see they are ignorant, but if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance would be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. You hear what I'm reading here? This is not Brian Kassar. This is God's prophet and the book called the Church Age Book.
And Brother Branham said, everything in that book is thus saith the Lord.
Ignorance would be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. What's the wrong ranks?
I got to hear this one. And this one is subject to this one is subject to this one. That's the organization.
And ignorance is not going to get you a pass from God.
Could be nice people, the very nicest people, nicer than I am. That wouldn't be hard. But the problem is, are you right with God in your niceness?
You know, I am preaching tough. I admit, I'm preaching tough this morning.
I don't know why, but there's something that has to be said.
From the Church Age book, the Laodicean Church Age, he said, what is it that all of these denominations are based upon? The claim to originality. See, the tape people say, we got the original. We got it right from the prophet. And they got all kinds of isms. We got the people that follow Brother Bale or Brother Coleman or these other ones. I've got it right from this guy who went hunting and fishing with Brother Branham or whatever. Talked with Brother Branham.
You know what? How about talking to God?
You say, well, I'm not a prophet. I can't.
Listen. You're a son of God. Doesn't the Bible say sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? Who's leading you?
God?
Or a church? or a manual, or a doctrine, or a group of peers, peer pressure. Look, I hope all of you in here are above peer pressure. Amen. That you'll never allow peer pressure to make you do or say anything. Amen. I hope you're all led by the Spirit of God.
Well, they say they're right because they are the ones that are saying it. But saying it doesn't make it so. They need the vindicated, thus saith the Lord of God, and they don't have it. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, never one time did an organization ever rise up that it didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. I'm looking in the face there of one of the best there is in the nation. That's right. A historian of the historians is sitting right with us. And I'll ask that man or any other man to ever show me one time that a church ever organized, but it didn't die and stayed dead. It never did rise again in the history of the churches or of the world. Never did. God don't want that. God wants us to be free in Him. He wants us to play to a place where we can accept all of God. Now, here's another thing I'm going to bring up. Too many churches around the country, maybe perhaps around the world, they have put aside a fivefold ministry for tapes. A lot of them have put aside the fivefold ministry for Brother Branham. Now, I've always encouraged you, every one of you, listen to that voice of God every day. It'll help you. Amen. I've never said you got to listen to me every day. I've never said you got to listen to Lee Bell every day. But you need to listen to the voice of God for the age on a daily basis. But that does not substitute for the preaching of the gospel. And so when certain ministers, they die, the congregation, they resort to playing tapes. Yeah. Just happened here not so long ago, a certain brother, a very precious brother, really good minister, loved this truth. Brother Vail said he preached the presence before he ever did. He preached it back in the 60s, 10 years before Brother Vail said, 10 years before I did, this brother preached it. Really good. I've heard this preacher preach. Really good brother. He dies, so what do? Instead of voting in another man or seeking out God to send them a fivefold minister or raise one up among them, the deacons got together and said, we're going to, okay, brother, there's four or five of us. Okay, brother, you're going to be the pastor. And we're only going to play our old pastor's tapes. Now, as good a preacher as that pastor was, what they've done right there is they've organized out of fear and they've cut off God. They've cut off the fivefold ministry. Why? Because they're afraid. We don't know who's true and who's not. Well, you ought to. The bride can't be deceived. You ought to be able to tell. Brother Brown said, I can talk to a man 3 minutes and I can tell whether he's got the Holy Ghost or not. And he said, and you can too. You can too. It doesn't take a vision from God to know if somebody's got the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is look at their life. See if it tallies up with the Word. Or are they living differently from their confession? That's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite as an actor. Not the master. From influence, Brother Brown said, we've seen the Pentecostals do the same thing. You see it. When they organize, they die. There's no way back. There never has been, and there never will be. God isn't. God is against the thing. That's the reason He said in the last days, He'd say, come out of them, from among them, my people, that you touch not their unclean things, and I'll receive you. And from trying to do God a service, He said, and any man that builds anything, any organization or anything outside of upon the Word of God, is shaking sands and will fall. It'll die as sure as anything. Because the Word of God is the growing body of the bride. You can't have it all foot or all arm or all thigh. These things come in their season. And Pentecost, you made it all of one thing. Therefore, you can't accept new revelation. Well, what if you got a one-fold ministry? Well, we got a pastor. We don't need anything else. You die right there. There's a five-fold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. For the maturing. Other things. You don't get a mature understanding listening to just one person. You don't. You've got me as a pastor. You've got Brother Vail as a teacher. You've got Brother Branham as a prophet. There's the evangelists come through.
Not so often, but there's some good evangelists out there, and there's apostles.
And if they're preaching the same word, you're going to see it from a different angle through that man's eyes. Now, for the mark of the beast, but the people, when you get organization, they hang to that organization instead of the cross of Christ. See, therefore, they, if you got organization and you draw it up, and if it end, if you end it with a comma, we believe all of this plus as much as the Lord will reveal to us, that's good. But when you end it with a period, you die right there. And I'm afraid that that's what's happened to a lot of these people. I believe everything that man said, and I don't care what anybody else says. You die right there. You die right there. Because it's not the vessel, it's God.
If God speaks, listen, I can turn on the radio and hear a denominational preacher, and God can still use that denominational preacher to quote a scripture that I have need of for that day. I can get that same thing from a 3-year-old child if God's in it.
But when you end it with a period, you die right there, and that shows me one's not ended with a period, surely, see. From trying to do God a service, he said, not many sincere people, they go join an organization or a group or a culture of some sort, and they die right spiritually. That they die spiritually. You can't tell them nothing. Well, Brother Vell didn't say it. I ain't going to accept it. You're dead. I'm sorry, but you're dead. They get that stuff drilled into them. Why, these bishops said this and this and this and said this, and you show them right here in the Word of God where it's thus saith the Lord, but our pastor, I don't care what your pastor says, I don't care what I say, or anybody else says. Well, there you have it right from a prophet. I don't care what I say or anybody else says. If it's contrary to God's vindicated word of the hour, the time, the message, and so forth, forget it. Stay away from it. And I've got to stand before every one of you on the day of judgment, and you know that. And little would I say that knowing that I'm a man. And it ain't that I know something, but he knows. I just follow what he says.
Listen, why do you think we put his words? I mean, the words of a vindicated prophet and the words of the Bible. So that you can look at it and say, okay, this is not coming from this vessel here. He's just, you're reading along with me.
It's just his voice right now that's speaking those words, but the voice of your mind is also reading them as well.
From the, and the Holy Ghost in you is saying amen, because it's the Word of God. Now, from influence, he says, up come the Pentecostals, and what did you do? The General Assembly, known as the Assemblies of God, oh, you organize yourself. What did you do? You begin to corrode. Then along come the oneness called the new issue. What did you do? You went out and organized yourself. God added a little something to the church in you. Oh, we've got it. And you are
out of it. Oh, I've heard that many times. You're just out of it. Oh, my brother, that's not God. Don't you see? What did you do? Right, died right in the tracks. God raised up the Christian businessmen here in the last day, and if they start the same thing, they die right there. That's exactly right. Don't you never do that. I remember years ago, I heard certain brothers talking about a certain minister. They were talking about Brother Don Hoffman. And Don was just coming into the revelation of Christ and these things. And they said, well, he's just, you know, he's so far behind. He'll never catch up. And, you know, he's 3 years or whatever behind. And I said, brother, I said, he's light years ahead of you when it comes to a life. It comes to having a relationship with the presence of God, the person of God.
Carnality. Carnality.
From the masterpiece. Now notice here. The light that was in the husk, in the stalk, in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. And the light that was in the stalk, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come down right here in perfection, back to the Word, to manifest itself. Now notice Brother Graham differentiates between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost himself.
Now, this is the one thing that the oneness in the message do not understand. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is not the presence that Brother Branham spoke of more than 4,400 times in 1,200 sermons. And the reason they do not understand this difference is because they do not understand God life. The Holy Ghost is God, and God is the fountain of life, and there is only one source of eternal life, and that is God, the author of that life. Eternal life is God life, and they do not understand the difference between a person having God life in them and God Himself, the person of God, in them. And the fullness of God dwelt in the Son, not in you and I. We have God God life in a portion. Jesus had it without measure because God indwelt him. So when he says justification made a way for sanctification, sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down to perfection, back to the Word again, to manifest itself. We see the difference between the appearing and coming right there. We see the parousia of Christ in perfection, back to the Word again. Now listen, what Brother Brown says in Masterpiece says, But what denominated it dies. Like life in the Luther went to make Wesley, and from the Wesley it went to make Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed. And on to Pentecost comes out of Wesley until that time. The reason that Pentecost came out of Wesley, because it was no denomination. Pentecost was. Then Pentecost went to denominate, and what did it do? It turned to the husk, it turned like the real thing. Or it looked like the real thing. Well, what's he saying? Every single revival of God was a people who were in an organization, and they realized that organization was going nowhere, it was dead, and they followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, they stepped out of that thing, and there was a revival. Then what did they do? The second generation come along and say, we've got to organize this, we've got to tighten this up. We've got to hold on to it, or we're going to lose it. And right there, they left the leading and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And they made it a man movement. Now notice how it's showing us that the life coming up in a sort of resurrection-like, and the sap that comes up in the sap in the springtime, is a sort of resurrection, and the tree comes back to life again after remaining dormant through the winter burial. He says this life began to come up in Luther, then on into Wesley's message, and then on into Pentecost message, and now it comes back to the seed again. Remember, Wesley, he believed in, you know, this works and stuff like this, but Wesley had no anointing, no Holy Ghost, and he just preached. He had only eight brothers that sat around and they talked the word. He's going, he just had no ministry. And he came over to the United States, he was going to do like George Whitfield. He was going to come out over here and evangelize. And then some girl, she liked him, so she told her daddy that, you know, they did some things, and so the daddy came after him with a shotgun to make him to marry his daughter, and he saw him coming, and he went out the back door, and he never stopped until he got back to England. Yeah, that's John. But on the trip home, he met a guy that, I don't remember his name, is Peter, starts with M, I don't remember the exact, but anyway, he was from... I think Bavaria, some one of those places, and he talked to him about the inner work of grace. He said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you come to our meeting on Aldersgate, and you'll see." So they came and they read from Luther's book on Romans, from the preface, and while he was listening to those words, something began to stir within him. They said, "I see what you're saying, but I don't understand it." And he said, just preach it until you do understand it. And John Wesley, that opened the door. And just from place to place to place in his ministry, just look, over 300,000 miles on horseback. Justification, Luther. Made a way for sanctification, Wesley. It had to come out of there. It couldn't come out from Mars down to Earth. You know, it had to come out from the previous. That's why this message had to come out of Pentecost. And that's why I believe the elect seed of God look, this is a million miles beyond Pentecost. We've got to come out of the shout. Do you know that? If we're going to enter the voice. Think about that. The shout made a way for the voice. And the voice made a way for the trumpet. All right.
Again, we find carrying this thought of God life as it comes up through the different stages of the church, and each stage of this planting of the Lord is identified with a message that swept the world. That was the life of God sweeping up all the predestinated seeds of God laying out there. Now, in this next paragraph, I do not know how to make it any more plain than what Brother Brown actually says himself. From the masterpiece, says, living, they produced in their early revival a holder of certain portion of the seed life, but when they organized, the life moved out of it. That's proven by all of history. Never an organization ever done a thing. After it organized, it was dead. All right? Now watch the life traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice what they've done. All these have done is proven by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. I think because we're only about halfway, what time is it? I think what we'll do is I'm just going to skip through my notes and just cover some of the highlights for you before we close. So I don't know how much more clear any person could say it than what Brother Branham was telling us here. Once a move of God organizes, it can never again be useful to God. Once you get your eyes on the vessel, it's over for you. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. Don't try to organize this message, because the word organized means to put together into an orderly, functional, structural whole. And that's okay. That's just part of what it means. And that's okay, because people see that, they say, okay, it should be more orderly, more functional, more structured. You know? And it means to arrange in a coherent form, systematize, organize their thoughts before speaking. That should be all right. You should have your notes, like Brother Bell said. You know, you get your inspiration should come in your study. If you've ever seen Brother Branham's notes, they're at the Voice of God. You can see the first 12 pages. Brother Branham wrote out word for word things that he thought. All right. So to arrange in coherent form, yeah, that's fine. To arrange in a desired pattern or structure, that's fine, because you don't want to just be hopping all over the place. To arrange systematically for harmonious or united action, then it gives some examples of this organization to form a union, organize a strike, etc. To establish an organization, organize a club to induce employees to form or join a labor union, to induce employees of business or industry to form or join a union, to organize a factory, to develop into or assume an organic structure. Now notice, it changed from just having an order, kind of order and doctrine, to now we've got to control the people through this order. And when you've done that, now you cut off the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now everybody becomes, you know, like the Catholics, they walk in, they all genuflect, they go into their seat. You know, in the order of service, you know, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Or stand up, sit down, kneel down. Stand up, sit down, kneel down.
It binds the people to a core value of beliefs and excludes others who do not hold to those beliefs.
Well, that's the Muslims. That's the Catholics. And that's message people. Pentecostals, any denomination, any organization.
That's why Brother Vail said, you do not have to hear this from me, but you've got to stand with this truth. It doesn't matter who you hear the doctrine from, but you had better hear it and say it the same way that the Holy Ghost said it. Because he that echoes the doctrine of Christ, he echoes God. Now, let me just take you to one more scripture here. Just look at any place where God has had a truly anointed pastor or teacher. And when that man leaves the scene, the people try to hold on to what he brought them. And pretty soon they begin to organize into a set of rules taught by men. And then the word becomes to them rule on rule, rule on rule, precept on precept, precept on precept, a little here, a little there, and then they will fall backwards. That's exactly what Isaiah 28 tells us. It says, all the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. Brother Brown said, that table is the pulpit. Now, what is vomit but food from another day that has become mixed up in man and then regurgitated? Who is it that he's trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from the milk? To those just taken from the breast? I don't think so. The Apostle Paul said, when you should be teachers, you have need of milk. No, those on milk see things a little differently. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Therefore, I spoke as a child and I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking, which results in childish talk and childish actions. So the word of the Lord then becomes to them, for it is do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there. Notice the perception of the word reverse to legalism, do's and don'ts. Verily, very well, then, with foreign lips and strange tongue, God will speak to this people. So if God will speak to the people, then what they will hear will be, thus saith the Lord. And this is the rest that God has for his elect. The elect rests in thus saith the Lord. To whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose. But they would not listen. So we have a prophet that knocked on the pulpit while he was preaching on the seventh seal. And he said, while knocking on the seventh seal, it's relaxation under the seventh seal. He knocked seven times. And notice what we're told here in Isaiah. This foreign tongue will bring rest, but the people will not listen. And thus, if they do not listen, they will not enter into this rest, but they will revert to works. And that is what we read in the next verse of Isaiah. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, rule and rule, little here, little there, so that they will fall backward, be injured, and snared, and captured. Now the wording here could not be more clear and perfect. We are told that because they will not listen to the voice of the Lord, they will refuse to rest and will enter into works. Do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. And so we see a very clear indication of the people who leave the life of the word that sets a man free from works and enters him, that would enter him into the rest. But when they leave that word, they always revert back to something they can do. Now, it does not say that they knowingly leave the word of God for works. No, no one does that. But it says, so then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, little here, little there, so that they will go and fall backward, be injured, and snared, and captured. You see, the word of the Lord to them becomes works. In other words, they begin to try to do for themselves because the life of the word is gone from them when they refuse the rest that God has given us by entering into Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, we have five more pages, but we're just going to close it on here. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We want to thank you that you are the same and you change not. We want to thank you that you did come down with a shout, but you don't end with the shout. That shout goes in the shout, that the shout has come to will move. Keep moving, being led by the Spirit. If we walk in the light, as you are in the light, as you are walking, we're walking. And that will lead us to the voice of the resurrection. Help us not to be those who stop, as so many did, on their way, on their exodus out of Egypt. But help us, Father, to be of a mind that we're going to continue to finish the race that's set before us. Help us never to focus on the vessel, but help us to focus on you and how you're leading us, whether it's through a tape or through a live ministry or through just relationship with one another or what we hear on the radio, whatever it might be, Father. Maybe we be aware that it's you dealing with us. And maybe be aware, Father, that it is you that lives in us and is breathing and moving and that we have our being. Help us be aware of the law that says that when the deed, title deed is passed, then the one who possesses that title deed is the owner. And help us to realize that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we are no more our own. We are dead and our life is hid with God in Christ. Help us to realize these things and to be aware not only of our own walk, but of our surroundings and how they may affect us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. If you want to read on, let the Holy Spirit move upon you. It's all on the internet. The words are there.